In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said,
"Let there be light."
And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said,
"Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters."
So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said,
"Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear."
And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
"Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it."
And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said,
"Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth."
And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said,
"Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky."
So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying,
"Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth."
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said,
"Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind."
And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
"Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth."
So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them,
"Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth.
God said,
See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with its seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.
And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Here in Sylvia.
Welcome back to the beginning. It's September, the time of new everything. New school year, new activities, new warmer clothes. It's a time of beginnings in so many ways. And so we find ourselves at the beginning of the story again, of God's story, or maybe rather of the story of God and us. Like every year for the past number of years, we begin our journey through the Bible at the beginning. And this fall, we will continue as we have for the last several years to make our way through the Hebrew scriptures until we reach the birth of Christ at Christmas, as luck would have that timing. And then we will observe the life of Jesus as recorded this time in the Gospel of John, from Christmas to Easter. And then after that, for several weeks, we look beyond the Gospels in the New Testament. But for today, there's no better place to begin than the beginning. I think we all learned that from Julie Andrews. I wonder if you've ever taken the time to appreciate the beauty, really, and the poetic nature, even if it's not written in poetry, of this creation story. In the beginning, and the refrain that tells us that what God creates is good, and God saw that it was good. And another refrain that says, and there was evening, and there was morning every day. While there is much to be said about this text, the first of the two creation tales at the beginning of Genesis, I've spent my week pondering the goodness of creation and wondering if it really is all that good. You see, theologian Karl Barth said that every preacher should write a sermon with their Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. Well, my newspaper is filled with stories about a creation that seems to fit a lot of adjectives, but I'm not sure that good is one of them. It's wet, it's windy, it's hot, it's fiery, it's angry, maybe? Is it good? In my research this week, I was reminded that if you line up the days of creation into two columns, then you find an interesting relationship between them. So if you imagine day 1, 2, and 3, and then 4, 5, and 6, day 1 relates to day 4. So on day 1, God created light, and then on day 4, God creates the sun and the moon, right? And then on day 2, it relates to day 5, and 3 to 6. And in that discussion, I also was reminded of something that even though we're accustomed to hearing that familiar refrain that what God has created, God observes and sees as good, it doesn't actually happen every day. But for 6 days of creating, there are 6 observations of good. And then one final, very good. So somehow, I think that if you can kind of see this table of relationship between 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, and then you hold in your mind 6 goods for 6 days, even though not all days get good, you can start to see that there is some kind of balance. And if you can't, just give it to me, please. It might not all make perfect sense, but I think it's there. Most days are good. One seems not to be, and one is extra good. And it all exists in some kind of balance. And this balance seems to reflect the law that God provides us. Light separated from darkness, seas separated from land, effective boundaries are created. And I hope that you have heard me preach and teach about how the law, with the creation of healthy boundaries, is actually life-giving rather than stifling. Living according to God's law, the commandments, and within healthy boundaries actually creates freedom in abundance. Whereas living outside the law creates uncertainty and insecurity, peril even. The balance, I agree, may not be perfect, but I think it's there in the text. And then when I do look up from my Bible and over to my newspaper, I can see it in the world too. While I see so many reports of flooding in Texas, in Bangladesh, in India, in Nepal, Nigeria, Florida is right at this moment bracing itself against Hurricane Irma, while Hurricane Jose takes a crack at the islands that Irma hit just a couple of days ago. And then at the other end of the spectrum, BC and Alberta and then several states below them are experiencing unprecedented wildfires. And at the same time as all of that is going on, we look outside and the sun is shining. And we look out into fields and prepare for a plentiful harvest. It might not be the best year ever, but it is far from the worst. Creation provides us with sunshine and rain and water to drink and food to eat. And again, there's this sense of balance. Imperfect, sure. Then it wouldn't really require any balancing. And so then all of that leads me to reflect on the balance of our own lives in creation, in our families and in our communities. September often reflects for each of us a time of new beginning. And so it makes good sense to look to the creation story for inspiration. And what this shows us I think, is twofold. First, God has created the world and us, human beings, in God's own image, and all of that created stuff exists in a balance. There are good days, there are less good days, and there are extra good days. In the end, hopefully it seems to work itself out as good. I believe that God has never stopped creating. God took a day of rest, but didn't stop after that. And I believe that God continues to create good things. And secondly, I think that we can all take a collective deep breath, because this story shows us that God is much, much, much bigger than all of creation. God dreamed it up, God made it happen, and God is still holding on to creation with love and grace. So as we gather together here at the beginning of a new year, there's hope. God is not done with us yet. We may look behind us and observe that we've had a few rough days. We've lived some days that maybe don't merit a good sticker. But that's somehow okay. Because at the end, God looked at all the things that God had created, and indeed it was very good. And so, seeing as we're creations still in process, and I think that that's true because none of us have yet met our end, there is hope and assurance that we will get to that point where everything evens out and we too get our stamp that says, very good. Because every day is a new creation. Every day there is evening and there is morning. Every day there is the possibility of newness. Every day holds the possibility of God's hand working wonders. And as Paul reminds us in his second letter to the Corinthians, every day is newly created. He says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. And even though we're starting September back at the beginning of the story, we happen to have the benefit of knowing that the end of the story includes each and every one of us as being in Christ. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Each of us knows all too well that being a part of creation is messy and hard and emotional and beautiful and wonderful. We know that it isn't all sunshine and rainbows, but what we mustn't lose sight of is that the story doesn't end there. Each day the refrain is spoken. There was evening and there was morning. Today. And it will be true tomorrow. Each new day offering a new set of possibility, promise, and hope. And that, my friends, is the gift of being God's creation. Because God is not done with us yet. So So I say, let's together try to open our eyes and our hearts to see what God is creating today. Amen.